in momentum space correlation functions. And then I will introduce new gauge invariant observables in the boundary theory whose divergence reflects the presence of the box singularity. And in the end, I will give a brief discussion like geodesics, which actually approaches the singularity. So thus give a first indication that one may indeed be able to study the black hole singularity using the Young-Mills theory. So some aspect of this story has been was discussed by Steve Shanker in last year's conference. So I will develop further this idea today. So my plan is that I will first try to establish a direct connection between the boundary momentum space correlation function and the box geodesics. And then I will use this connection to study the signals of singularities in momentum space, in momentum space correlation functions. And then I will introduce new gauge invariant observables in the boundary theory whose divergence reflects the presence of the box singularity. And in the end, I will give a brief discussion like why this indicates that the singularity may be resolved at finite time. So the object I'm going to be interested in is so-called the Weismann function at finite temperature. So this is, just consider some scalar operator in the Young-Mills theory. You do this thermal average. And so you don't do the time ordering, so this is called time. So this is called the Weismann function. And so from the back point of view, this corresponding to insert operators on one side of the boundary. And the beta is the inverse Hawking temperature. So this boundary operator is due to a box scalar field, we assume, of mass n. And then in the supergravity limit, the dimension of the operator O is given by this formula. So this mu quantity I will use measure. So we can also, since the black hole have two disjoint boundaries, we can also consider inserting one operator on the other boundary. So it turns out this, so let me call that G12. So here I have already suppressed the spatial coordinates. Yeah, you should imagine there's spatial coordinates here. And it turns out this G12 just goes, can be obtained simply by an scintillation of the G plus, the corresponding to operator inserting on the same side by shifting the time in the imaginary time direction. So this correlator does not give you additional information than the one which I showed in the last page. So we will be interested in momentum space correlation functions, so we will do a Fourier transform of G plus or G12 to momentum space. And so if you Fourier transform in T, you will get omega, so this is frequency. And if you Fourier transform in the sphere direction, you will get additional angular momentum. So this will be the quantity which I will study in momentum space. And in momentum space, the relation between this G12 and G plus just differ by a simple factor. So that again shows that these two quantities does not contain more information. So now I want to use the ADS-AFT prescription to study this G plus in momentum space. And there's a standard procedure of doing this. So you basically need to solve the Laplace equation for this corresponding scalar field phi in the box. And when you go to momentum space, this Laplace equation just becomes a Schrodinger equation. And I use the torsus coordinate for the black hole here. And this phi is a Fourier component of the phi omega L is a Fourier component of phi. And the information about the matrix and the geometry is encoded in this potential. So this is like a static Schrodinger problem. So the potential generically behaves like this. So Z infinity corresponding to the horizon, and the Z equal to zero corresponding to the boundary, and omega square corresponding to the energy eigenvalue of this Schrodinger problem. And if you find the G plus, we need to find a normalizable mode for this Schrodinger problem, which near the horizon can be normalized in this particular way. And when you choose this normalization, so theta omega is a phase shift, so because this is the and if you normalize the phi this way, that determines the fall off at infinity with this particular form, in particular with some numerical factors depend on omega and L. And then G plus is just given by the C square, which comes from this fall off. So from this way, if you solve the Schrodinger problem, you find the G plus in the Schrodinger half of the limit and in the Lagrangian limit. So this Schrodinger equation is very difficult to solve. But even if you solve it, after this machinery which I just described, all the information regarding the box geometry has been completely scrambled. So even you can compute this G plus exactly using the DCFT, it's still very hard to extract information about the box geometry explicitly. And here we want to know how the presence of the box singularity can be reflected in the G plus. So we want to develop some techniques for doing that. So first, let me describe the analytic properties of G plus, and this can be obtained just by looking at the Schrodinger equation. The first, one immediate see from that Schrodinger problem that it's like a scattering problem, you see that the boundary Yamilsky actually have a continuous spectrum. So in that Schrodinger problem, the omega is continuous. The boundary Yamilsky have a continuous spectrum despite on the compact space, three-dimensional sphere. And from the box point of view, this is just due to the presence of the horizon. And this is actually universally applied to all black holes. And once we obtained the G plus omega L for real omega and L, you can and it continues to full compact omega and L. And then you find that in the complex omega plane with given L, the only singularities of G plus are actually just poles. You can only have poles. And actually this corresponding to the cosinomial poles of the black hole background. So let me give you an example. So for the G plus, if for L large to large, you find the cosinomial poles like this. And these have been obtained by the Warwick people. And the spacing is equal. So now, to make connecting with the geometry, we want to consider limits. So we want to consider nu to be large. Remember, nu is related to the operator, dimension of the operator we are considering. And we also scale the omega to be nu times u, and L to be nu times k. So we consider everything in terms of unit of nu. And then you can show that just by manipulating the Schrodinger equation which I showed before, that G plus can be expanded in this large nu limit as the following. And so this leading term given by exponential form V. And then you have one of nu corrections or subdominant corrections, like the exponential subdominant corrections, which is L can be worked out explicitly from the doing the WKD approximation of the Schrodinger equation in this limit. In the large nu limit, which is corresponding to the mass of the box particle to be very large, we expect that the propagating of the box particle should follow geodesics. So we should expect that this Z should be related to the geometric quantities, like certain geometric quantities associated with geodesics in the box. So let me first describe the box geodesics. So box geometry has isometry, has killing vectors along t direction. You have translation variance. Also, there are isometries along s3 direction. So box geodesics can be characterized by integrals of motion e and q. So e is the velocity integral along t direction, and q is the angular momentum along the s3 direction. And then we find Vk, this V, Uk, which we defined in the last transparency, can be identified as a Legendre transform of the geodesic distance of a space-like geodesic with integrals of motion, E and Q, with E and Q related to the K and the U this way. And in particular, this geodesic starts and ends on the boundary. So note that the relation between omega and u is just like the momentum and the velocity. And the reason that this I here is because it's a space-like singularity. So this relation is perfectly expected. So now we have established the picture. So for each complex pair omega and L, you look at G plus, and then you take that B limit, you find the Z, and then you find for each of them you associate with a complex, associated with a complex geodesic in the complexified black hole space time. So in principle, you can actually map out the full box geometry if you know this thing for all complex omega and L. So this is like a classical inverse scattering problem. So let us look at some simple examples. So first let's look at just for the real omega. Turns out for the real omega, actually the boundary correlation function corresponds to geodesics in the Euclidean section of the space-time. So the Euclidean section of the space-time is just a disk, and the Euclidean time in the angular direction, and this is the radius direction. So the geodesics completely lie out of the horizon, and if you take the omega go to plus minus infinity, and you find the geodesics just approach the boundary, just like this one. And so this is just the familiar UVIR connection, which large frequency in the boundary corresponding to for the IR region in the box. But now if we look at omega to be pure imaginary, and then we find the geodesics probe the region, the geodesics lies in the Lorentzian section of the space-time, and in particular the geodesic actually probe the region inside the horizon. So geodesic go from one boundary, go inside the horizon, and go to the other boundary. So such geodesic has been studied before in this centroid or spacer. And in particular, if you take the omega go to infinity along the imaginary direction, you find that the geodesics approach the singularity. The geodesics come approximately now and approach the singularity. So the omega go to infinity can be, again, considered as UV, and the singularity also can be considered as UV in the box. So it seems like here we have a UV connection. And so let me summarize what I just described. So the momentum space, so in momentum space, each region of the momentum, so you have four infinite line of poles which separate the momentum space into four asymptotic regions, and each asymptotic region is associated with some region of the box geometry. For example, this part called the boundary of the box geometry, and the imaginary and the negative frequency probe the singularity. And around the origin, which you have very small frequency, you probe the region around the horizon. So it's important that we have these lines of pole there, because they create a real asymptotic region in the complex omega plane, so that you can actually have region can be associated with the singularity. So I just said the singularity corresponding can be probed by consider the G plus, which you consider the omega go to the plus minus infinity, I infinity. So let's look at that. So you find you can compute this from the box, and you find that actually G plus exponentially decays along those directions. And the decay is controlled, so omega is pure imaginary here. And the decay is controlled by a complex parameter which appears here, which I call beta tilde and I beta. The beta is just the inverse Hawking temperature. And the beta tilde can be characterized in the following way. Let's consider, again, this panel of diagram. Let's consider a large geodesic, radial large geodesic, starting from the boundary at t equal to 0, and let it go. Eventually, it will hit the singularity. And if you measure the spatial time difference between the initial and the final point, you find that the four times of that is precisely this speed quantity I defined, the beta tilde part by beta. So the imaginary part comes from because you cross the horizon. So the explanatory decay. So the explanatory decay of this correlation function on the imaginary direction is actually controlled by the box geometry. And although this relation was derived for mu very large, it actually can be shown to be valid at finite mu too. So, yeah, you can also look at the Fourier transform of this momentum space correlation function to coordinate space. Yeah, since I'm out of time, let me skip the details. And the result you find is that the geodesics which go inside the horizon does not actually directly contribute to the coordinate space correlation function. So if you want to look at the coordinate space correlation functions, actually the geodesic we just talked about, which approach the singularity, does not contribute directly, and this was pointed out by these people, and they argued you can actually do something more subtle to recover the information. But here, things below the momentum space correlation function explicitly, we can actually do something different. So the standard way, if you have a momentum space correlation function, you do a Fourier transform along the real axis, real frequency axis, to go to the coordinate space correlation function. That turns out here, if you choose the contour along the imaginary axis, you can construct a new observable, which I call H12. You just do a different contour in your Fourier transform. And turns out then this new observable, this gauge invariant by definition, and actually diverge when tau approach plus minus beta tilde over Q. And one can show that actually this divergence precisely reflects the divergence of a space-like geodesic approaching the singularity. So let me just explain a little bit here. So we find, if you look at the standard spatial correlation function, you find that the geodesic going inside the horizon does not contribute. But if we go through this process, which you study G plus T, go to momentum space, and go to this G12, and then to a different contour to go to H12, then the signal of the singularity becomes very significant. So this is like a signal. Yeah, so this, yes. So when you go through this process, you amplify the signal of the singularity in the boundary field. So now let me, so I just described the behavior of the Young-Mills-Serre, this G plus, at the infinite end and strong coupling. So let's look at what we expect for the Young-Mills-Serre at finite end. So at the finite end, Young-Mills-Serre on S3 should have a discrete spectrum. So more explicitly, should have finite number of states below any given energy. So this should be even true for the coupling of order 1. So this theory has an S duality. And in particular, this implies that in momentum space, this Weismann function actually just given by a sum of theta functions which support it on the real axis, along the real axis. And this sum is over physical state of the theory. And now, let's look at the picture. At finite end, we have something very boring. We just have a sum of theta functions supported on the real axis. And now when you go to infinite end, you see this structure. Now, you see the regions in the complex frequency plane, which corresponding to different parts of the box geometry. And in particular, the discrete spectrum at finite end seems to be incomplete with the presence of the horizon. So the horizon, as I described, always implies you have a continuous spectrum. So this picture and this aspect suggests the horizon and the singularity, they are just approximate concepts which are valid only when you do a Lagrangian approximation. When you do a Lagrangian approximation, only when you do this asymptotic expansion, such kind of concept become meaningful. So this seems to appear. So this appears to imply that the singularity and the horizon, they should go away at finite end, if you treat end exactly. So the previous argument I just said does not actually tell you in detail how the singularity can be resolved, and that's what we really want. We want really the precise mechanism to see what precise physics to resolve the singularity. So we can consider actually two logical possibilities. The first is that the singularity is already resolved by alpha prime effect in perturbation theory, so at the infinite end, at some finite proof of coupling effect. And another possibility is that actually alpha prime effect is not enough. The singularity is only resolved at finite end. So at the moment, we cannot tell which one is realized. Although, for myself, I tend to incline to think the second is more possible, is more likely. If the second possibility is realized, then the singularity should be visible in weakly coupled Young Mills theory, because alpha prime effect is no longer important. And then we should be able to address the singularity problem just focusing on the large N limit. And then the problem is much simpler, and we might even learn something universal from here. So let me summarize. So, yeah, I'm out of time, so you can read these. So I hope I have convinced you that we have seen some tantalizing hints that there might be a life story hidden behind this, which can lead us to have a more complete story of physics behind in the physics inside the horizon, and regarding the fate of the singularity in quantum theory. Thank you.